today on Real Radio.
Have you thought about this for a moment, that for nearly 2,000 years he's been here working? Jesus came, and then he left. And 50 days later, Pentecost, 50 days, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's been here ever since. Building up the church, gifting the church, empowering the church. He's been teaching us for the protocol of heaven. Isn't that exciting?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This is actually a series taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, as well as other passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Regarding the word of wisdom, that is a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. You in here, someone, there's certainly more than one, you've got this gift. And the fun part is some of you don't even know it yet. And you're going to wonder, wow, is it me? It could be you. And God wants to use your gift. Listen, we want you to use your gift. Because if you use the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you, we're all going to do better if you do. And we want to do better. And we need you. The Bible teaches us that if you are a born-again Christian, that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit has given you at least one gift that is listed in the Scriptures for the edification of the church. It's important to note that all of the gifts given by the Holy Spirit is to build up one another, except predominantly one gift actually has one gift is dependent upon another gift so that it can edify the body. And we'll talk about that one later on. But that is the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is to be exercised very specifically according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in tremendous order and proper conduct, not out of control and all these things that might have frightened some people from a certain denomination that they might have come out of. The Bible lays it all out. But it's interesting to note that the gift of tongues, the Scripture says, that if it's to be exercised, that it's to be exercised within a body during a certain setting, and only if the one who has the gift of interpretation is present to interpret that gift. The gift of tongues should never be uttered in a gathering without someone having the gift of interpretation who's present. And you might say, well, that sounds awful orderly. That's right. It is. And that's what the Scriptures teach in 1 Corinthians 14. And the Scriptures talk about also that if you are to make an utterance and there's nobody around or you're by yourself, that you are actually edifying yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Not at all. We need edification. But the gifts were primarily given for the edification of the body. I need your gift. You need my gift. We need one another's giftings that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And I want you to think about him for a moment. Consider his nature, the Holy Spirit, his personality and his person. He's very gentle, the Holy Spirit is. Very wonderful, the Holy Spirit is. He's very patient. Have you noticed how patient he is? He's very patient with us. Have you thought about this for a moment, that for nearly 2,000 years he's been here working? Jesus came, and then he left. And 50 days later, Pentecost, 50 days, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's been here ever since. Building up the church, gifting the church, empowering the church. He's been teaching us for the protocol of heaven. Isn't that exciting? The Holy Spirit's the one that's getting us ready for heaven. He's been encouraging us to stay true to our first love, to constantly be reminded by the Holy Spirit that we are a pretty wonderful group of people. You know, a lot of people come into a church and they can point out 1,000 different things. We're all guilty of that. But you know, we need to look at each other in faith. You can look at me and you can say, well, you know, he's got this wrong, he's got that wrong, and so I do. But praise the Lord, God looks at me in faith, man. Jesus sees me as the completed work of his will. And I'm going to go to that place someday, but yet he sees me, he sees you complete. I need to start looking at you complete. I need to start looking at you complete in faith. I love the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. You know the list of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful? Those guys there? All good things spoken about them. Now, you and I, depending upon how our attitude is and how we view our walk and the walks of others, we can look at Hebrews 13 and say, well, hey, wait a minute, I can point out a lot of wrong about Abraham. I know where he goofed up. You know, what about Rahab? And see, God doesn't do that. You know, your friends, your neighbors, your husband, your wife, your friends, your enemies, the dog and cat can point at you and say, well, what about this? Have you ever tried to witness to your family members? You know? You try to share with your family members, they know everything. And when I got, it's funny, when I got saved, all my whole family moved out of state. It's weird. And they didn't see me for a long time. And then when I tried to share with them, it's like, yeah, right, we know you. And Jesus says, a prophet has honor everywhere he goes but his own house. Isn't that something? Even Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't believe in him until it says after the resurrection. That's weird. Isn't that weird? He's raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind. Hey, did you see what your brother did? Jude? James? Did you see? Yeah, I don't believe it. Isn't that funny? Amazing things. To encourage us. The Holy Spirit has been here instructing us, reminding us that we're going to be his princess someday. We're going to be his bride. We're engaged to him now. And the Holy Spirit's the one that's instructing us in those things. And then the Holy Spirit's been equipping us. And of course, we're talking about the gifts, equipping us to exercise the gifts so the body can be built up, making sure that the bride of Christ, she's ready for her groom when he arrives at any moment. By the way, it was an ancient custom to seal a promise with a gift in the ancient world. You didn't only state it with your mouth, maybe shake, and you know, in the days of Boaz, remember what they did? They took off their shoe and spit, and it's like, what is that? That's just their thing, you know? Now we kind of high-five and do the down-under thing and the... And it's like, you know, we're buds. We're in there. Okay, let's go. All right. You shake on it. In the ancient world, you'd seal a promise by giving a gift, a token. There'd be often in the area of marriage, there'd be a dowry, depending upon what country you're from. Sometimes in certain countries, if you want to marry a girl, you give her father some money. In some countries, the father gives you money to marry his girl. It's true. Yeah, I'll give you $50. You know. But in ancient times in Palestine, it was different. Giving gifts sealed the promise. In fact, grab your Bible right now and turn to Genesis 24. Genesis 24, just a really fun. I think this is a fun part of the Bible. You know the story. I'm not going to tell you what the guy's name is because I really shouldn't just yet. But remember this as we look into Genesis 24 concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures tell us that Jesus said in John's Gospel, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will not speak of Himself. That is, He will not promote Himself and He will not speak of on His own authority. He will speak only what's been given to Him by the Lord. Holy Spirit's gentle. He's very, though He's absolute God, He seems to be very obedient to the will of the Father and of the Son. Yet He has His own will. But He won't speak of Himself. He doesn't brag. He doesn't boast. I think the Holy Spirit often gets embarrassed when people talk so much about the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said that He's come to that He might exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Genesis 24, there's this beautiful thing taking place where Abraham turns to his head servant. And this servant has been given all of the authority of his wealth. And Abraham turns and he says, listen, I don't want you to get a girl from this town and this area for my boy. Isaac, by the way, was 40 years of age. 40. And Abraham says, I want you to go back where I came from. Now listen to this. Go back to where I came from and find a girl for Isaac from my hometown, from my home area. Well, listen, that's a Gentile region. And that guy packs up 10 camels and servants and heads off. Can you imagine having a job of finding a wife for some other guy? It's hard enough to find one for yourself. And you work for the guy. And he does what everybody should do. Starts praying. Oh God, help me find a girl for my master's son. Lord, lead me, guide me, show me, let me know. In fact, Lord, when I come across the gal that's the one sent from you, note his specific prayer, may she come and like attend to me and to the camels. And he lays out a fleece. Lord, if you're really in it, do this thing. And you might say, well, what's the big deal about that? You know, having a girl show up and offering him a glass of water and a glass of water to the camels. Well, first of all, it's 10 camels. And a camel drinks something like 20 to 30 gallons at a sitting. And a girl in those days, by the way, the young girl's got all the water. Her pot would normally carry 2.5 gallons of water. 10 camels. 20 to 30 gallons of water. The book of Genesis 24 says that when the servant came to a place, he was there, and this beautiful young girl, they estimate somewhere between 15 to 20 years of age, comes on the scene, and to make a long story short, read Genesis 24 later. It's so fun. It's so romantic, actually. She says, would you like to have a drink? And he says, Lord, if you're in this, have her water the camels. I only got 10 of them. They only need 20 gallons each. It's estimated it would have taken her 4.5 to 5.5 hours to water those camels. And she says, oh, by the way, I'll water your camels too. Lord. And this man, begins to worship the Lord. And she waters the camels, and after she's done watering the camels, there's a little exchange of dialogue going on, and he says to her, can you take me to your house? And he goes to the house, and he begins to say to the father and to the brothers, listen, my Lord that I serve back in his land, he has sent me, and your daughter basically fits the bill. It's a tremendous thing, and she's to come. But before he shows up to the house, he had given her, on the way to the house, gifts. Now, this does not turn many of us on, but he gave her a nose ring. And I don't offend anyone in here, but I don't know if a nose ring is all that attractive. But he gives her a nose ring, and she's like, oh, man, that's the nicest nose ring. I just love this nose ring. and bracelets. And you might say, well, he's bribing her to like go. No, God had answered his prayer. He gives her gifts, and then he says, you make a decision. You decide. You come and be the wife of my master's son. But you got to come now. And she looks, it's so cute, she looks around at all of her brothers, and they're all basically saying, don't go. Really, that's the, read it. They're basically saying, don't go. And one of her brothers, by the way, jumps in and says, hey, you know, where'd you, he tries to get some jewelry for himself. He does. And so anyway, the story goes this way. He says, what are you going to do? And she says, I'm going to go. She's never seen the guy. She's only met this servant of the master's for just a brief period of time. And she follows. And along the way, the camels had been loaded up with supplies and with gifts. And along the journey, this man would have been given her gifts of promise, and he would have been whispering to her, now this guy that you're going to be married to, he's about this tall. His name is thus and so. He's the son of the most wealthiest man in the world at this time. Can you imagine? Well, not a bad deal. And all this stuff going on, and he's building her up, and he's building up their union, and he's building up the whole scenario that she's really being carted off on a 500-mile journey to a kingdom. And all along the way, he's given her gifts. And when Rebecca sees Isaac out in the field, she jumps off of her camel and runs to him. She's never met him. How do you think that happened? The servant all along the way has been telling her tremendous things about Isaac. Tremendous things. And she didn't have to fall in love with his face. She didn't have to get all excited about his, you know, 17-inch biceps and his buff body. Do you work out? That is a cool donkey he drives. Wasn't important. You see, I'm making this part up. I believe that by what he told her along the way, she fell in love on that 500-mile journey. She fell in love with Isaac, sight unseen. And when they show up, she jumps off the camel and runs. He gets up, and it says that he takes her to his mom's house. Sarah had died, and he makes her his wife. Now, we won't talk about what that means later on, sometime later. Not now. There's young people here. But on the way there, he would have told her, listen, on the way from the camel situation in the field to consummation of the marriage, which could have been a day, could have been less, Isaac would have whispered to Rebecca what we do now on Saturdays with couples, and that is the wedding vows. He would have said, I pledge my life to you. I give you all that I am. I give you everything. And she's basically going, I know. Because he's already told me everything about you. And that beautiful servant of the master would have slowly faded away after giving all the gifts along the route of the promise that my master has sent me that you might marry his son. And you know why in Genesis 24 his name is not mentioned? You have to go back to Genesis 15. His name is Eliezer. And his name means the comforter. And in the New Testament, Jesus says the Holy Spirit, his name is the comforter. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us gifts. Gifts of promise as a token, because where we're going along the route, we're falling in love with this king that we've never seen. And he gives good things. So that there's coming a day when that servant will take us up to meet the Son. And Jesus, the Bible suggests to us, I think teaches to us, will take us into the chambers, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 to 21, and will become his bride. In the meantime, he's given gifts. Gifts of promise. Why? To build up that bride, the bride of Christ, the church. And one of those gifts is what we're talking about is the gift of wisdom. The word of wisdom. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 8, he says, therefore, he says that when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And that is a reference to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can keep your finger there, or you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 8, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom. There in chapter 12, there's a list, not all of them, but there's a list of many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the word of wisdom is one of them. Obviously, it's a gift that comes from the Comforter, from the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that we all benefit from. It's a gift that encourages us by its very nature. We'll talk about more about this in a moment. And it's a gift that's in great need within the body, as all the gifts are. But it's an interesting gift. If you have this gift, the gift of word of wisdom, you'll find out that God is, or He's going to use you in the area of counseling. We mentioned that last time, or maybe even teaching. Some of the verbal gifts will be incorporated with the word of wisdom. You might have, listen, you might have a deep drive to be a prayer warrior. You may be one who intercedes for people. It's just the way that God has made you. You are like a, secret force in the body of Christ. You're like the covert platoon, the prayer warrior. They're the ones that go into the closet of prayer and they're praying for Calvary Chapel. They're praying for you. You might be on the prayer chain because you're sick and they pray in sometimes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called United in the Gifts, it's actually a mini-series that takes a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. Now, we've mentioned a few times recently a valuable resource for your loved one who is a professing believer but has, well, fallen out of fellowship. And who better to tell you more about this resource than our teacher himself, Pastor Jack?
Mike, you know this is dear to my heart, and you know that I love to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's almost nothing more exciting than that. When I say almost, this is something that really drives my heart as a pastor. And that's those who know Jesus, but they've walked away from Him. They're the ones that Jesus spoke about in Luke's gospel, the prodigal son. Maybe you're the prodigal daughter today and you're far from God. And you're hearing this program right now and it's got your attention. You're living a life that you know is not pleasing to God. I want you to know something. The Lord is saying to you, Christian, come home. He's inviting you to come back to have your sins forgiven and your fellowship reestablished with the Lord. That can happen now, my friend. Or maybe you know somebody who's in that condition today that they need to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, for a gift of $20 or more to support Real Radio, there's a 4-DVD set entitled Christian Come Home, taken out of Luke's Gospel, Life of the Prodigal Son. Christian, if you're not walking with God, come on back. Christian, come home now.
Okay, so once again, to get Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian Come Home, call, click, or write. Again, for your gift of $20 or more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or the traditional way, for the cost of a stamp, you can just write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, that's for your gift of $20 or more. If you missed any of this contact information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.